God has for us this year instead of this week, this morning. Let's see what God has for us for this coming year. But let's start out. We have a message that's going to be talking about the 2021, things that will happen during this year, things that God has been speaking to me about and other men of God that I know, men and women of God, that God has laid something on their heart related to this. And I think it's something that will be a complete blessing to you as we go through it. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we're lifting you up this morning. We want to touch heaven. Father, we want you to touch us. We want to have our hearts mended and molded together with you and yours, Father, that our hearts may combine with you to further the gospel, to continue to spread the word of Jesus, the good news, the life that he gives and the eternal life that he gives, that we can continue to spread that message throughout our community. And definitely, Father, minister unto us in our hearts so that we can be better ministers in our family and in our workplaces and everywhere that we go every week, that you will use us in a greater and more powerful way. And Father, we pray as we press into things that are anticipated as happening in this coming year, Lord, that you will give us courage, that you will build us up in faith and in a boldness in our confidence towards you, not so much in ourselves, Lord, but in you, that we trust that you are in control, that you will lead us and guide us, you will give us what we need when we need it, and that we can trust in you with everything that we've got. So we praise you this morning for that. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So we made it, right? We made it. The year of our Lord 2020 is behind us. You can say amen to that, right? You can say hallelujah to that, right? Because praise God, some of the stuff that happened this last year wasn't things we had been through before. People kept talking about the normal or the new normal, those kind of things, and it changed things. Life changed as we know it, and potentially for a long time yet, and we'll see where all that goes. But it is something that we can at this point say that 2020 is now behind us. Okay, it was, as predicted, a year of vision. Okay, last year's message, if you miss it, I think it's still on our Facebook page and on the online, but it was 2020, the year of vision, okay, or 2020 vision. Okay, and it had a lot to do with allowing us to see things more clearly than we had before, to be able to understand things with a greater understanding of what was really happening around us, things that were hidden in our own personal lives, things that had been kind of stuffed down in there and maybe not as on the surface as they were before are now have been brought to the surface during this last year. I know personally I have my own areas of growth and things that I've been focusing on, and those things came to the surface like no other year that I can remember. Okay, things about our country, things about our government, things about the Christian church. Okay, some made it through this last 10 months and some didn't. Okay, so things were revealed about the Christian church. Things regarding God himself. Okay, attributes of God, I think, have been revealed to many of us during this last year, where he has become more real in certain areas of our life than he was before. God's goodness, God's faithfulness has been unveiled, okay, to those that were anticipating it and needing, looking for it. Anticipating that God would come and do something, we're able to see that. I think many of the things about our true colors as a nation were uncovered. I look at the United States of America different than I did in 2019 because of what happened in 2020. Many of the things came to the surface. Our mainstream media, MSM, anybody seen those letters? If you're a online at all, they don't even call it mainstream media. It's just MSM anymore. Okay, well, the mainstream media, politicians, science in the medical community, big tech, social media giants, those things will never be viewed the same again because of the happenings in 2020. It was a year that changed things, changed our perspective. 2020 was a year that brought into a clear view everything from cyber attacks to political corruption to the religion of wokeism, doing evil in the name of good, and then condemning anyone that tries to say it is not good. Okay, that's a religion called wokeism. The cancel culture, intentional pandemics and the power of modern media to create hysteria, conformity, and control. Okay, 2020 will go down in the historical memory banks of many, many people, probably throughout the entire world, as one of the most memorable years in their history, in their life. So what does 2021 have in store for us? Okay, what is 2021 going to be different? How is it going to look compared to this year of vision where we're able to see things more clearly? Well, my confident prediction is that 2021 will be just as memorable. Okay, so prepare your hearts for that. But rather than evil being revealed, okay, and being brought to the light, what has already been exposed will now continue to be done, but blatantly, out in the open, for all to see. That hindrance, any holding back of that evil, will be taken back. Like they used to talk about reducing your inhibitions. You know, they talk about things like, there's a little bunny trail for you, but like suicide and the way that alcohol affects your brain and those kind of things on it, that people that are more tempted, when they get to that point, as soon as they start drinking, it lowers their inhibitions. They stop thinking about, how is this going to affect my family? How about, you know, this and that? And it lowers their inhibitions, okay? That has been done as a nation for us, and I'll say just our nation, but it has been lowered so that the evil that used to be held back will no longer be held back. That's a difference that we're going to see more and more as 2021 plays out. I foresee that there will be a line drawn in the sand in 2021 in which you will be forced to decide which side you are on. Okay, it is good versus evil. Okay, it is light versus darkness, right versus wrong, God versus Satan and his minions. Leaders on the side of the Almighty God are going to be called to rise up. Okay, we're going to be called to join together, to stand against the evil. No longer just trying to expose the evil, but actually fighting against it. Okay, pushing it out of their families. Pushing it out of your places of work, pushing it out of your churches, okay, and influencing the culture around you with the goodness of God, letting the goodness of God lead men to repentance. That's why this year of 2021 must be a year of courage for the believer. Okay, it is going to take a standing stronger than we're used to having to take in our country. Okay, strong and mighty men and women of valor are going to boldly step across that line, and they're going to declare their allegiance to the King Jesus. Okay, it is. I've got a nice duct tape line up here, but it will be stepping across that saying, "My master is Jesus." Okay, I've made my choice, and I will stand on that side of the line and not go back. I believe that what I'm talking about is more than just being a little bit bolder in sharing the gospel. It's a little bit different or more than just stepping out and being more Christ-like. I'm talking about taking a stand with the Lord, with Jesus, on the right side of truth and good and right and light that will be undeniable, that will be life and death, and have heaven or hell kind of consequences. Because we know that in the last days, the Bible says there will be a great falling away. It is people who had believed, church-going people, some that are kind of riding the fence, but many that have been going to church are going to fall away. Okay, those are heaven or hell kind of consequences. I believe that the majority of Christians are going to be put to the test in 2021. And you're going to determine which side you stand on. Do you truly stand with God, or will you cave in? Will you give in to the sin? Will you give in to Satan? Will you give in to the world system? Okay, because we are in this world, but not of this world. There is a system. If you don't know what it is, do a little research on the world system. Okay, because we are being sucked into it as the body of Christ, and it is doing huge amounts of damage. It's like Jesus said to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Jesus said to fear none of those things. We have that scripture in there, Cowboy. Said to fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, so that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I, Jesus says, will give you the crown of life. 10 days is not a long time. What that implies is that the trial will be short. But even though it is short, it is going to be long enough to determine where you stand. To be tried literally means that you will be tested. You will be examined. Okay? Your life will be tempted and proven. That word in the Greek describes the testing of the believer's loyalty. It describes the testing of the believer's strength. The testing of your opinions. The testing of your disposition and your condition. It describes the testing and the trying of your faith, your patience, and even your very character. You know, if the thought of needing that type of courage makes you a little nervous, and it does. Many people are like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do it, if I can handle that. It makes people nervous, makes them uptight. Makes you wonder if you're going to have what it's going to take at that moment. Am I going to be able to do the right thing and say the right words? I want you to take heart. Okay? Be encouraged, because that is the very definition of courage. Okay? Courage literally means the ability to do something that frightens you. Okay? It is the ability to do something that frightens you. It is strength in the face of pain and grief. It is strength in the onset of calamity. It is a strength that goes beyond even your own. You know, like the Lord God said to Joshua when he was appointing him the successor to Moses. He said, Joshua, be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not intimidated. For the Lord your God is with thee. Okay? The Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. You know, Jesus comforted us in regard to the courage that will be demanded of us in 2021. Did you know his word applies to this year? Okay? He knew and he gave us encouragement for this year that we're going to need. In Luke 12, verse 11, Jesus said, and when they bring you into the synagogues, okay, it represents a place where you're brought to be tried. Okay, when they bring you to the synagogues and unto the magistrates, unto the powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. That means that we have the Holy Spirit at our disposal to give us the strength to say what we need to say at that moment. Again, the Apostle Paul reminded us that it is not fear that has been given to us by the Almighty God, but it is a power and a strength that goes far beyond our own human capabilities. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, so that you can make those good decisions. 2021 is going to be a year that calls for the kind of courage that was demanded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of you know where I'm going with this story, because they got put on the line. They got put to the test. Okay, they were confronted by the servants of the king Nebuchadnezzar, okay, as being these guys that simply would not bow down to the world system. Okay, they were called men of God, and they were called upon to make a determination of their allegiance. Which side of the line are you on? Okay, they had to make that decision. The king had made a huge statue, if you remember this story. He made this huge statue out of gold. And then he brought all the leaders and all the rulers of the people and all the governors together, and he gathers them all into one place. And he tells them that he makes a commandment that at any time, day or night, that they hear the sound of the trumpet and the sound of the harp and the flute and all the music, that all in the kingdom are to bow down to that gold statue. Okay, because King Nebuchadnezzar had set it up and made that the commandment in the land. And all those who did not fall down to their face and worship that image, within the same hour, they were to be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. Disobedience to the king's command carried with it an immediate death sentence, in other words. This wasn't a, well, you're going to be shunned. Okay, this isn't, well, you're going to be poked fun of if you don't bow down to the king. This isn't a social stigma like we're dealing with in our country right now or around the world. Okay, this is going to be more of an immediate death sentence for disobedience. Just like these men of God were called upon to make a determination of their loyalty, we too are going to have to take our literal stand. Okay, and if I don't warn you about this, if I don't teach you and try to train you up so that you can make the right decision, so that you can be on the right side of the line, then I'm not doing very well as your pastor. I'm failing you as a pastor. We need to be reminded of what is coming so that we can prepare ourselves. I believe that at some point, you are going to have to make a choice between bowing down to the king of the land, okay, giving in to the world system, going along with all the others. You're going to have to make a decision to go along with that or stick to your faith in Christ. You're going to have to make a stand of where you're at in your walk with God. You see, throughout history, it has never been simply because people believed in God or because they believed in Jesus that they were persecuted or martyred. The people were martyred, persecuted to the point of death because they claimed the Almighty God or they claimed Jesus Christ as King and Lord. Amen. They would not bow down to another master. They were told, you must bow down to Caesar or else. They were told, you must go do this or else. In other words, follow the system or else. You have to understand that your stance that I'm talking about this morning is not about what you believe, but it's about who you're loyal to. Where does your loyalty go at that moment? Is it about self-preservation? Is it about going along with the crowd? What are people going to think of me if I don't do this? Or is it about I stand with Jesus Christ? You know, my wife's going to cringe if I tell a little bit of this story, but I need to tell it right now. I took a stand this week on my faith and in my walk with God, and I went into a place and I was literally removed from the building. Okay, in a store in Laramie, because I would not give in. I said, my faith in God demands that I act in this particular way. And I did not give in, and I was removed from the building. Okay, this is the loyalty of where you stand is going to get to that point where you say, I'm standing with Jesus Christ. I walk by faith, not by sight. I trust in God and not the world system, not even a doctor, a banker, whoever, fill in the blank. My loyalty is to God Almighty. And when God says to walk by faith, I'm going to walk by faith. Okay, I'm going to trust in Him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior that went to the cross for me. Okay, and I'm going to give my loyalty to Him. Okay, this is why the woke religion that is sweeping the nation is so perverted right now, because of the loyalty change that it demands, that you become loyal to someone, some group, some cause that is not God. Okay? Anything other than God becomes an idol, and that becomes, I will have no other gods before thee. Right? Fill in the blank, what it is that is drawing you away. These social justice warriors, as they call themselves, will tell you that you can believe anything. You can believe whatever you want. But if you speak out something that is different than what they believe, or you don't speak up supporting what they believe, you are not just rejected, but you are slated to be punished, to be canceled, and to be eliminated. Wokeism demands an allegiance to a false god of self, that it has become about mankind saving mankind. That's wokeism. Okay? It is social justice matters have risen to the top, that this is the cause, we must solve this problem, rather than an allegiance to the Almighty God who can solve every problem. Wokeism says that it's okay to stand with whoever, whatever you want, as long as it does not distract from or misalign with what you are being told to believe and to support. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the ungodly king. They would not bow down to that golden idol. They chose not to worship the golden statue because it was a false god and it was not the one true God. And they were not, I don't know if this is an okay word to use in church, but I just thought, they were not cocky about it, right? They weren't smart alecks about it. They weren't, you know, going in and trying to be rebellious and try to put the king down and put him in his place. Yet they humbly defended their stance to the king. In Daniel chapter 3, it tells part of their story. In Daniel 3:16, it says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not full of anxiety over it, but we're not trying to put you down either. Verse 17, they said, if it be so, if you're going to cast us into prison for not bowing down, or you're going to cast us into that furnace for not bowing down, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you know how that story goes. They were thrown into the fire, and the Lord appeared in the fire with them, and they walked out unscathed, unburned, untouched by this super hot fire. Okay, but here's the kicker. Their stance, the stance of these three humble, courageous men of God, chose to be loyal to God and not to any other god, did not just spare them from the fire. It had a much larger impact. Their faith in God was so great that it touched the heart of the king and changed the land. It changed everything from that point on. He saw that they were loyal to their God to the point of death. He saw that God had spared them from destruction because of their faith. The king bowed not down to, the king ended up bowing down to them. Okay, if we read on in Daniel chapter 3, verse 26, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and has delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. They yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I, the king, make a decree that every people, every nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." That's the God that we serve. And that, dear children of God, is what your individual courage can do. Okay, when you take your stand, it is more than just helping you in your personal walk. It is affecting the kingdom of God. Others are going to see your boldness. They're going to see the confidence that you have in the God of wonders. And they too will be overwhelmed at the thought of a God that is so powerful, so influential, so meaningful to you, and has such a stronghold in your life that you would even be willing to die for him. 2021 is going to be a year that your courage is going to need to be walked out. Okay, it is going to be expressed through a deep reverence for God rather than a fear of man. Because the fear of man is rampant in our society right now. It is drawing people in different directions, all different kinds of directions. Pull them in a way that is not of God. Okay? When God leads you, you are led. Okay? You don't feel pushed. You don't feel pressured. You don't feel that control. Okay? Jesus told us about the last days. He said when people's hearts would be failing them for fear. Okay? Many would believe in Jesus as Lord, but they would let the fear of man overtake them and squelch their faith. In John chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus said this. He said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They let the fear of man steer them away from the kingdom of God. They let the fear of man steer them away from faith in Jesus, as trusting him as Lord and Savior, but they're afraid they wouldn't be able to go to that particular place anymore. They wouldn't be able to go to the synagogue anymore because the Pharisees were going to persecute them. This is that line in the sand. Okay, the religious pressure of those that are serving the God of self. They're squeezing the hearts of those who have believed on Jesus, and they're getting them to yield to the wokeism. Okay, getting them to yield to the doing good, doing evil, and calling it good, so that they can receive the accolades and the attaboys and the praises of men. You know, at first I think this pressure and the giving into it is done out of fear. Okay, it is. We're afraid not to do what is being told us to do. Then it ends up becoming a little easier. And people start doing what is evil for the pats on the back that they get because of doing it. But eventually, if you continue on with that woke religion, it becomes your own passion. And you become ignited by that passion to do evil. The best example that I can think of would be one I saw recently here. It's kind of the Christmas season. I don't know if anybody ever watches the Christmas Story with the little guy that wants a Red Ryder BB gun, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Hey, there's a scene in there about the bully. And the bully grabs one of the kids and bends his arm up behind his back and makes him say, "Uncle," right? Okay, think of this example when I'm talking about what wokeism is all about. Here it is. It's the arm twisting behind your back, where they twist your arm up behind your back and scream at you, "Say uncle." And because of the pain that you're feeling, because of the control that they have over you at that moment, you say, "Uncle," kind of reluctantly. Then they scream at you a little bit louder, twist your arm up a little bit further to make it really hurt, and say, "Say uncle." And this time you holler it out, "Uncle!" Then they say, "Okay, now you're getting the idea." They let the pressure off a little bit and say, "Say uncle." And this time you say it again. You say, "Uncle." Then they let your arm go and they say, "Say uncle." And you say, "Uncle." Then they say, "Make your friend say uncle." And you twist their arm up behind their back and scream at them, "Say uncle." And the cycle continues. Now you are passionately doing to someone else. It has become your motivation. You feel the control. You feel the power you have over them at that moment. And you get them to say uncle until eventually you let off their arm. And now they're saying it peacefully as well. They're saying it like it's their idea. Now we're all on the say uncle plan, right? We're all going to go around and get others to say it as well. And then it becomes a groupthink where the bigger picture is, this is the group to be in. We are the say uncle group. Okay, that's wokeism. It is getting you to believe that it's your idea to do evil, to do harm, to hurt others, to do that and think that it's a good thing because then they can be part of us. Then they can be part of the in crowd, the say uncle crew. Okay, there is no way out of that cycle unless you take your stand firmly in the very beginning. Okay, not giving into it, not getting to the point where you will willingly say uncle. Okay, but saying, "I will not say it. I will not give in to that. I will not go there." You know, the courage needed for 2021 is going to have to be like what was displayed in another good example of a humble believer in the Bible in the story of Esther. Okay, many of you know her story. She defied the law. She defied the custom and the tradition when obeying it would have led to much more than, with disobeying it, would have led to much more than just her own death. But it was going to lead to the death of all of her people, right? The people of God were going to perish if she did not defy that. She saw that what she was about to do was bigger than just her. Okay, and if you remember that story, she had an uncle, a man named Mordecai, okay, that was a man of God who himself had already taken and begun to live out his personal and yet kingdom-influencing stand by not bowing down to the world system. You know, your stance as a believer has a much bigger impact than just some personal growth in your own life. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is affected by your influence. You know, Mordecai defied the command of the king that said that he was to bow down to a man named Haman. Because king, is it Ahasuerus? How do I say that? Yes, Ahasuerus, okay, had declared that everybody in the land should bow down to his right-hand man named Haman. He had authorized him. He had empowered him. This is basically second in command in the whole kingdom. When everybody sees this man, bow down to him. But Mordecai would not do that. Mordecai determined that he would bow to no man, but to God only. The king had decreed this. So when Mordecai approached Esther, and he gave her those encouraging words that many of us have heard before, and they became famous when he says, "Esther, who knows, but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Okay, those words, when Esther heard that, she believed and took Mordecai at his word because he was already taking his stand. She would trust that he knew that God would protect him when he didn't bow down to Haman, that God would protect her when she had to go do what she needed to do. So you know how that story goes. Esther's faith-filled actions were going to have a lot more of an impact than just her being saved. They were also going to play out. Those same kinds of roles and responsibilities are going to play out in our lives as Christians in 2021. Okay, you remember that story. Esther was selected by the queen to be the queen of Ahasuerus. I mutilate that guy's name. I'm sure he likes that. The guy was the king over 1,700 provinces, spanning from India to Ethiopia and beyond. This guy had a lot of power. There was a long-standing law in that land that said that anyone that approached the king without being invited, no matter how high-ranking they were, even if you're the queen, you could not do it without being sentenced to death immediately. Well, Esther had learned of a plan that evil men had devised to kill not only her Jewish uncle that she loved, but to literally wipe out all the Jewish people in the land. She too was a Jew, right? And her family were on that extermination list. She knew that she had to go to the king. She had to ask him to spare her people, not just for her own life, but she saw that bigger picture. Okay, the people of God needed her to take that stand. You know, you play a much bigger role in the kingdom of God in Rawlins, Wyoming than you probably give yourself credit for. Okay, sometimes we tend to think of ourselves and be all humble that, oh, what I do doesn't matter. But it does. We're all in this together. Okay, we're all in this as Christian believers. We all need to step up and take that stand. Your courage to stand up for Jesus, your courage to stand up for what is truly right, not just what you're told is right, is going to make a difference. Okay, it makes a profound impact on the people around you. Esther did let courage rise up in her heart, and she did go to the king, even though it meant almost certain death for her. Yet God worked it out for her favor, so that not only was she spared, but all the people that she represented were spared, promoted, and kept from being destroyed. You know, I'm telling you right now that 2021 is going to present you repeated opportunities to take your stand. You're going to get the opportunity to say, no, I'm standing on this side of that line and I will not cross it. It is not time to tuck your head in the sand. Okay, it's not time to hope that things just play out for the best. Okay, resolve yourself to the boldness for Christ. Be not afraid of what you see happening around you. Okay, take that step across the line with confidence in God in your heart. Jesus described the times that we're approaching, and he said this in Luke 21:26. He said, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, in 2021, you're going to find that there is strength, that there is encouragement, there is protection and safety in numbers. We've all heard that reference, right? Safety in numbers. That's why the sheep all bunch up, right? There's safety in numbers. United with like-minded believers is where you're going to find that pool of encouragement to refresh your courage, to remind yourself of your stance. In Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So as you see the events of this year unfolding, okay, you will find that it is a time like no other to unite in your faith toward God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, last verse scripture of the day, in Hebrews 10, 23, it says, to let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Today is a day, and this is a time to gather together with like-minded believers, to be strong in Christ, to let the unity of the fellowship be a bond that takes us to that next level. that gives us that courage to stand in the face of the adversity that we'll come against. You know, as you see the times getting more and more tumultuous for the Christian, okay, when faith in Christ is somewhat tolerated, somewhat acceptable, but allegiance to Christ, allegiance and loyalty to Christ as King and Master is not acceptable anymore. At those times, you're going to find yourself exhorting one another to come together, to immerse in the glory of God, to let that bond continue to grow and to unite. You know, this is something, what I'm talking about this morning with the courage, is something that you can do. You can do this. You can walk courageously. You can walk as a mighty man or a woman of valor. Okay? You can stand strong in the face of opposition. You can stand strong in the face of persecution. You can be courageous. You can confidently step across that line and say, I will go no more. We as the body of Christ are going to band together. And in faith and unity, we will prevail. The church of God cannot be snuffed out. Though they may try, we're going to see it tried. But it cannot be snuffed out. We will prevail. Amen. Father God, we're praising you this morning. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Not just a saying that we say, but something we truly believe. You are our Master. You are our Lord, our Redeemer. You are the one that shed your blood to purchase us. Father, we are and commit our loyalty unto you. We say that even on this day that we reaffirm what we believe. We trust that you are the Savior, that you are our King. And God, we will not bow down. We will not bend to any other God, to any other so-called King. Lord, we yield ourselves fully unto you, to your plan. We yield ourselves to your strength. We pray, Father, for the courage, the uprightness, the stick-to-itiveness that needs to come through this year, that we will draw that from you. Father, that we praise your holy name, that we worship you, that we learn of you, we grow together, we fellowship with one another, we exhort one another to stay strong in the faith, trusting that you are faithful, that you have given these things unto us, given us strength and power and the wisdom to know what to do. You've given us of your Holy Spirit to walk and to know exactly where to be, when to be there, what to say and what not to say. Father, we're trusting you this year. Lead us, guide us, reveal yourself, give us that next step, Father. Show us when the lines are drawn in front of us, Lord, and help us to stand on the right side. Father, we trust you this morning. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.